There's magic in the air this evening, magic in the air.
The world this at her best, you know, is one of my favorite Muppet movies.
One of your favorite Muppet movies?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, one of them. I love the Muppets. I absolutely love the Muppets.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of my favorite Muppet movies.
Well, there you go.
I saw this originally in theaters.
Wow.
And it's fantastic.
There you go. Welcome to That Movie Show. Mike Wendt, Liam Stryker, Bill Nell was out on assignment. And today we are covering the Muppet Christmas Carol.
And I will be playing the role of Jacob Marley on the live stream.
Okay.
I am ghostly white.
Oh, okay. You're a little blown out.
I am a ghostly white.
Fair enough.
I need to get a flag.
we need to get a flag that off there.
We need to get black wrap for the light.
One of the few movies we've done this holiday season that was actually released for Christmas.
Yes.
It was released December 11th, 1992. Had a $12 million budget. Mm-hmm. And made it $27.2 million at the box office. It was written by Jerry Jewell. It was directed by Brian Henson, who, of course, did recently Happy Time Murders, which you can find in the archives, newageinsiders.com.
Yeah, what a guy.
This was his feature directing debut. and it's also the first Muppet movie without Jim Henson.
Yes.
He died in 1990, which is why the old Family Guy bit, we have off-sounding Muppets.
Yeah.
Wukka wukka, want to hear a funny-ass joke?
Yeah.
Great bit, but I was noticing that a bit, especially the Slatter and Waldorf one.
Yeah.
They didn't sound...
Correct.
Or accurate.
Yeah.
Right. That kind of took me out, because I remember the song, because I haven't seen this in, God, 100 years maybe, and I remember the song as soon as they started, but I couldn't get past, I'm like, It doesn't sound right. Because they're like my favorite bit.
Oh, they are.
And especially the Muppet Vision and Disney and all that stuff, they're always my favorite because they're the assholes of the group.
Right. Well, they're probably the most iconic part of the Muppet show experience because you always think of those two up in the balcony making fun of people.
Right. And they just sounded a bit off.
Right.
And there was a couple. And it was the ones that Henson did himself.
Right.
Because they had a recast a lot of the Muppets. And it is what it is.
Yeah.
But probably one of the bigger casting decisions was Sir Michael fucking Caine.
Yeah, the funny part about that is you as a child, I didn't realize who that was.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And then now watching this again, being like, "Oh my God, it's Michael Caine."
Not the original choice.
Really?
Nope. The original choice for Ebenezer Scrooge in 1992, coming off of the success of Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure,
George Carlin.
Oh. Keanu Reeves. No, Alex Winter. No, it was George Carlin was their original choice.
That would have been bad.
And it would have been interesting.
I wouldn't like George.
I don't know.
That's a very different movie.
It's not as English.
No.
Definitely not as English.
It's like if we made A Christmas Carol but casted Rodney Dangerfield, that movie would be fun.
Sure.
But I don't know if it would be good.
It definitely wouldn't be, I guess, as English as this is. Fun fact about Michael Caine's role in this. When he was cast and hired, he told Brian Henson, "I'm going to play this movie like I'm working with the Royal Shakespeare Company. I will never wink. I will never do anything Muppety. I'm going to play Scrooge as if it's an utterly dramatic role and there are no puppets around me." And if you watch it, he fucking did.
And he nails it.
Yeah.
And that's part of why this movie is so endearing, because he doesn't treat... like. You look at iconically Steve Martin is a big part of Muppets lore. He was in the Muppet Show a bunch, and he's basically in every single Muppet movie. I don't think he's in this one or the most recent two, but other than that, he's in all of them. But he's always like winking and nodding, and
he's Steve Martin,
you know, and it's just like, "Oh, it's a cute, it's a talking bear," you know what I mean? Whereas like, no, he's treating. Kermit is the actor playing Cratchit.
Yep.
And that is how Michael Caine is playing this.
Yep.
And the seriousness just adds to the movie.
There was, I actually put it up on my Instagram, the introduction of Bean Bunny.
Yeah.
Another favorite from Muppet Vision for me is Bean Bunny. And he's introduced as basically a bum begging for change.
Yeah.
And Michael Caine launches a wreath at him and knocks Bean Bunny like clear off the screen. And I'm, I had to rewind. I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah.
You just murdered Bean Bunny.
Yeah.
You horrible, horrible man.
Yeah. Oh God.
Truthfully, this is not my favorite of the Christmas carols because I always will lean on Mickey's Christmas Carol.
Mickey's Christmas Carol is by far, hands down, the best.
That gets get watched every year.
That is so good. That one is the best.
That I actually got on Blu-ray.
Yeah.
Went so far as to get that one.
See, I think that this just holds a special place in my heart because I did go to see it in the theaters, and I do love the Muppets so much.
It's the child nostalgia thing.
Right.
Yeah,
yeah, the rose-colored glasses. Because I remember the Marley and Marley song and leading up to it was terrifying for me as a kid.
Okay.
I remember just being so terrifying. So let's just launch into it a little bit.
Sure.
Basically, it's a Christmas carol. Charles Dickens, classic novel.
Played by Gonzo.
Yeah, played by Gonzo. He's the narrator.
Seconded by Rizzo the Rat.
Yeah, great.
As himself.
Crushing both.
And the casting, you're right, because they actually were cast that way in the credits. In the opening credits, it's Kermit the Frog as Bob Cratchit. It's Gonzo as Charles Dickens. There's no they are the actors in this.
Right. And so it's great. But yeah. Ebenezer Scrooge. I never really understood what he was. He basically is in control of everybody's money and he's just a major dickhead.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I get from it.
Yeah.
And so he's terrible to his employees. Mm-hmm. He's some kind of banker or loan guy or something like that. And he's going to he hates Christmas. He hates fun. He hates merriment. He hates everything.
Bah humbug.
Bah humbug. And so he's basically goes home and his dead partners, which is different from it's one partner in the classic story.
Yeah, it's Jacob Marley is the original. They added a brother for the Slater Woldoff thing.
Yeah, and so it's the two of them. And he appears in the door knocker.
Yep.
He appears in the door knocker, and that's always scary. Mm-hmm. And then you start hearing them, and they come show up in chains.
Yeah.
And they sing a song. And yeah, that just terrified me as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Pepper's Ghost effect that they kind of use, I would assume, the fact that they're kind of translucent, the shaking chains and the whoo,
right?
Yeah, I don't know why. It just
got you.
It always got me as a kid. Gotcha. But the big thing is that he Ebenezer Scrooge is told, mm-hmm. "Hey, you're more fucked than we are,
right?
And we're royally fucked,
yeah.
So." You got to do something. How finding the Christmas spirit tonight is gonna stop all that? Who knows?
I don't know.
Like that's never explained
to me. Let's scare this guy nice.
Yeah, it's look, is it hey, we're doing this tonight, but it's now got to be for the rest of your life,
right?
Or is it just hey, you're good after tonight?
Well, I think it's changing his overall perception of people.
Yeah,
and. He doesn't the ultimate one is he doesn't want to die alone.
Right.
Nobody wants to die alone. So be nice to people so you won't die alone.
Yeah, that's basically the moral of the story.
The Christmas Carol.
Yeah.
Of Charles Dickens' Christmas Carol, yes.
Yeah.
Which is funny because last year on the show, we did Scrooge.
Yeah, we did.
I just remembered that when I was watching this. We did Scrooge last. So this is two Christmas carols in a row.
Yeah, two Christmas carols.
Interesting. Maybe next year we'll get Mickey on.
We should. We should do that.
So... Okay, so the ghost thing. I forgot how they played this, and I wasn't a fan because I guess I'm just so used to the Muppets doing all the characters,
right?
That the non-Muppet characters took me out of it.
Yeah, the fact that the Ghost of Christmas Present. Oh well, we'll get to that. But so we could have had somebody else play the Ghost of Christmas Past.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of somebody that would have been fun.
Originally, they were supposed to be Muppets, and I'm finding it. So yeah, originally, let's see,
because the Ghost of Christmas Present is the biggest missed opportunity.
So the original Ghost of Christmas Past was going to be Scooter.
Yeah, see, that would have been great.
He was cut completely from the movie.
Yep.
Miss Piggy and Gonzo were going to be Present and Future, and they were recast.
Okay, yeah. Those are fine. The one to me is, how is Present not Sweetums?
Yeah.
How is the, like, how, it, that was the one to me where it's like, how is the Ghost of Christmas Present not Sweetums? He's supposed to be a large, imposing, giant ghost.
Yeah. But what it looked like, because I'm so familiar with the Disney one, it looks like they made a Muppet out of the Disney version of the Ghost of Christmas Present. Is exactly, and I guess I'm guessing just based off of that, then that's probably how it was either drawn or described in the book or whatever. Right. Because yeah, even in the Disney version, they used existing characters.
Right.
Like the Ghost of Christmas Present was the giant from Jack and the Beanstalk. So yeah, it was just weird, especially because
I mean, even the Ghost of Christmas Future is Pete.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's like
Jiminy Cricket was passed,
you know. So yeah, it's just those were the two
that took me out a bit.
Those were the two, like that was the one, but yeah, we could have done something better for the instead of the weird doll that was passed.
Yeah. Which was extremely difficult to do. Because, so in order to achieve the look, puppeteers were submerged with the Muppet in a tank of baby oil backed by a green screen.
Yeah.
And that's... it got to be too expensive to keep filling a tank with baby oil, so they just started using water.
Yeah.
But they were basically in a tub of water.
Yeah, of course.
With a Muppet making that effect. And it's like...
It's cool looking.
Sure.
But
the fact that it's not an actual character Muppet kind of took me out of it. And there's so many.
Well, that's
like watching this, especially now. Like, I haven't seen this in years, but watching this so close to watching Happy Time Murders, it's like, oh, I get it. This is the same fucking guy. Because there were Muppets everywhere.
Right.
The town was littered with Muppets.
Right. And you look at it, and there should be two sets of cast, and it's the human cast and the Muppet cast.
Right.
And then there's a weird third set of cast, which are the ghosts.
Right.
And it's like, you even start it by having Marley and Marley be Sattler and Wardoff.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's like, you even started the trend, but then didn't stick
to
it.
Didn't stick with it.
You know? I do think that the Ghost of Christmas Future is imposing and terrifying in the way that he should be.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't have necessarily a big, like... you know, like I don't necessarily dislike that.
Sure.
Like, because I feel like if you're going to do that, if you're going to do the Ghost of Christmas Future and you're going to have it be a Muppet, it like basically has to be Fozzie Bear. You know what I mean? Like, if you're going to do it, you got to do it.
Oh, Fozzie Wig.
Yeah. Not. Yeah. Fozzie Wig.
Fuck. Muppets.
Yeah. So the first ghost shows up. It's a Ghost of Christmas Past.
Yeah.
They go back in time.
Yes.
And we find out that he, like, had this girl and he loved her, but she, like, bounces.
The fact she was named Belle kept throwing me as well, just because of Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, right. Of course.
I was watching it in a weird state. I was just like, why do they keep calling her Belle? Like, it really bothered me. To the point it shouldn't have.
You also just wanted to watch Avengers Infinity War?
I really was trying to get to Infinity War.
That's all you were trying to do? You were just trying to get to Infinity
War. God, get through this, Michael Caine!
Yeah, damn it, Michael Caine. Learn the value of Christmas! So I can get to the value of learning how half of the universe would be better if you just weren't there.
Snap, Christmas would be much better with Thanos around.
Yeah. Oh, hey, do you not like Christmas? Boom. Problem solved.
Oh, really? We're going to have 40 people at a dinner table? Nope.
This party's too crowded.
Imagine a fucking irresponsible person with the gauntlet just showing up to a party and be like, I don't like crowds. Snap.
Snap. You're done.
Oh, ADD.
Yeah. I mean, it's the classic. The thing about this movie is that it's cute.
Yes.
Right. That's kind of the big thing and the biggest takeaway of this movie is that it's cute because it follows all the same story beats that every Christmas Carol does.
Yeah. Kermit's Bob Cratchit.
Yeah. And he's got a gimpy kid that...
Tiny Tim, of course.
Tiny Tim is going to die.
Gimpy kid.
He's got a gimpy kid.
Okay.
Played by Robin, Robin the Frog.
Robin the Frog.
And it's just like, yeah, what are we going to do with your gimpy kid? Like, I always thought that they put the kid down.
Like, did, has, and I've, God, I don't know. I'm sure I had a had the Christmas Carol book as a kid.
Yeah.
And I'm sure my mother read it to me. But was there ever a description of what Tiny Tim had, or was it just poor people disease?
Yeah, he was just poor. He was like, it was one of those
They couldn't afford a full length leg.
Yeah. It's one of those diseases where it's like, hey,
let's throw that into the old Google machine.
Hey, if you have like a banana, you'll be fine. But we're too poor to afford a banana. Like one of those type of diseases.
Actually, yeah. Renal tubular acidosis.
Okay, that feels like fan fiction.
I'm guessing it is, because the very next line said, Dickens did not explicitly say what Tiny Tim's illness was. However,
yeah, based on
renal tubular acidosis, type 1, which is a type of kidney failure causing the blood to become acidic, has been proposed as one possibility. Another being rickets. Which is just a funny word.
Well, so compared to the two of them,
rickets is caused by a lack of vitamin D.
Yeah, like one of them is like rickets was like a thing people had.
Yeah.
And then this other one is something that I thought you made up.
No.
Ricket acidosis. That sounds like somebody.
Renal tubular acidosis or rickets.
So Mariano Ronaldo acidosis. It sounds like some sort of soccer disease.
Yes.
Like that's what you get when they flop. When the soccer players flop around.
Yeah.
But you look at it, and why is that more complex one that sounds like a disease that somebody that's, like, sneaking into a hospital to, like, get some information from somebody, and they're like, doctor, we need you to look at this patient. He's like, he's got rickets acidosis.
Yeah. So basically people just making this shit up.
Yeah,
because everything I click on says, Dickens never explained why Tiny Tim had the crutch, nor does he ever make it clear what will kill the young boy if Scrooge doesn't change his ways.
So it's got to be, it has to be that they are too poor to afford Sonny D
right.
and cure his rickets.
So basically, if Scrooge becomes a nice man,
he doesn't invent Sonny D, and he doesn't give the kid
cures renal tubular acidosis and rickets.
I'm going to go with Tiny Tim had rickets. That's what I'm going with.
But God damn it. When they fucking pan over to that crutch, and I'm watching it last night, maybe it was the Jack Daniels, but I welled up a little bit. That yeah. fucker got... I texted you guys. I'm like, these motherfucking Muppets are making me cry.
Oh, man. Well, yeah. Because Robin is far cuter than any kid that has played Tiny Tim.
I don't know. Mickey's little mouse guy was pretty fucking good.
See, but that little Mickey...
But that wasn't sad.
See, but one, that wasn't sad. Two, it wasn't like... There wasn't an emotional attachment to that character.
Well, they also didn't do it the same way. The way Disney portrayed the death was having Mickey clutch onto the crutch over a grave.
Yeah,
it wasn't. But the way they did it in the Muppet one, where it's like you're almost point of view from Sir Michael Caine.
Yeah,
and it's just panning across the room, and it's like, oh shit, there's a little hat and a crutch. You motherfuckers yeah. killed that kid.
Yeah, he had rickets. You had the
renal
power.
Tubular acidosis.
Yeah, or Mariano Ronaldo acidosis.
Ronaldo.
You know, or whatever. Again, I like.
Here's another one. Oh. Okay, what did Tiny Tim die of? Click, heart attack. This family couldn't afford enough meat to have a heart attack.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Right. Yeah, right. What is he eating? Rats? Rizzo's still running around, so probably not. Like, was polio a thing? My guess was polio.
And seriously, how Catholic were the Cratchits? How many fucking kids did they have?
15.
15.
To be fair, they're frog pigs.
They're frog pigs, yes. Yeah.
They're frog pigs, I think.
What was it? It had to have been a Family Guy episode that did a literal translation of what it would be like if Kermit and Miss Piggy got together, and all of a sudden it pans across, it's this mutant thing going, kill me!
Yeah, right. Well, I do like their portrayal, where it's like, you got some frogs, you got some pigs. Like, somehow that works. I feel like they got together and they were like, look, we're going to do artificial insemination.
Six children.
Yeah.
Bob, Cratchit and his wife, no name, have 6 children. Martha, Belinda, Peter, 2 smaller Cratchits, unnamed girl and boy, and the lame but ever cheerful Tiny Tim. This person was a dick.
Yeah, the ever cheerful
Tiny Tim. The lame Tiny Tim.
Yeah.
Am I reading that wrong?
No, that gimpy motherfucker.
Does lame have a different definition that I'm not thinking of?
Yeah, lame. Like, he's got a lame leg.
Oh, okay. I thought, like he sucked.
No. No, like, he's got a lame leg.
Oh, he's totally fucking lame, man.
Yeah, no.
Let's not play with that weirdo.
Yeah, no. Like, his leg is lame. It doesn't...
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I'm not sure what the technical definition is, but it's like, yeah, his leg doesn't work properly.
Oh, okay, yeah. Unable to walk normally because of an injury, illness, or rickets.
Or Mariano Ronaldo acidosis.
Or Mauro Ronaldo acid reflux.
Yeah, right. God, get a goddamn Zantac and buck up, kid.
Heartburn was a bitch in 1920s London.
Yeah, look, see, this is the thing. This is the possible outcomes. Either Scrooge doesn't learn his lessons and Tiny Tim dies of one of these diseases,
mm-hmm.
or he does learn the value of Christmas and invents either Zantac or Sunny D.
Yeah.
So.
Or Ronaldo tubular acidosis, whatever the fuck cures that shit.
Sounds like Zantac.
I don't know. In the other movie, all that had to happen was Jenny just yelled "Run, Forrest," and the fucking crutches came off.
Yeah, right. Christ.
He was kind of like that too. He had to have something like that.
He had to have Mariano Ronaldo acidosis, ISIS,
or rickets,
I thought he had polio. Not the point.
Whatever.
So
I don't know. His mom fucked it away.
Yeah. But anyway, like, Bob Cratchit still loves Scrooge for some reason.
Well, he's got to work, right?
Yeah. But even at his house, it's not even like, you know, screw that guy. It's like, hey, he's probably a good dude or whatever. And now his entire family's like, we're poor.
Well, that's just it. Bob Cratchit he's the poster boy for optimism.
Right.
He's always optimistic. There's always the sun's going to rise tomorrow. The grass is going to be green. Hey, we're not gimpy like this fucker over here.
Yeah, we're not.
You know, yeah. Let's give it up for Mr. Scrooge, who gave us the money to have this pigeon that's kind of killing our son slowly.
Yeah, we need to vaccinate our frog boy, but, you know.
He's looking a little green. Ba-dum-bum-sh.
Yeah, somebody get Fozzie. Waka, waka.
By the way, Fozzie Wick.
Yeah.
Owner of a rubber chicken factory.
Of course.
As you do.
You know.
Waka, waka, wanna hear a funny-ass joke.
It would have been funnier if.
Shows off the rails. Where's Bill?
This is what happens. Look, this is what happens when we do 3 shows in a row and Bill isn't here for the last one.
God, imagine if we did 4 rooms.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So where the hell are we here?
Ghost of Christmas Present.
Present, okay. So is this... so we completely passed over the Fozziewick thing.
Yeah.
All right, fuck him.
Yeah, fuck him. He's inconsequential.
He was in the Disney version played by Mr. Toad's Wild Ride.
Yeah, he was.
I don't know what that guy's name is.
Ichabod?
Mr. Toad. I guess.
Yeah.
No, Ichabod was Legend of Sleepy Hollow.
Yeah, so it's got to be Mr. Toad.
It's another one of my favorite Disney ones, Legend of Sleepy Hollow.
Yeah, it's a good
fucking
one.
Love that.
Yeah.
All right. Ah, fuck it. We're in present now.
Yeah, so that's, he sees all the...
With Sweetums.
He also sees his nephew.
Yeah.
Sees his nephew as well. Or
Fred.
Fred.
Who, yeah.
Who was played by...
A person.
Yeah, that's right.
He's a real person.
Yeah. Oh, he was... Yeah, he was somebody. But yeah. Neither here nor there. Yeah, so...
Does Fred get a divorce or something? What happened?
Yeah, Fred's...
Fred loses his wife.
Yeah, he's going to lose his wife or something.
Did Scrooge fuck his wife or something?
Something like that.
It was a weird movie.
Yeah, well, it's the funniest part about it is that at some point Rizzo and Gonzo like call it out, being like, hey, this is a little dark. Yeah. And Gonzo just looks at him and goes, it's a classic, I guess.
It's a classic.
A classic, I guess. So.
Yeah. Rizzo the Rat playing himself.
Yeah.
And Gonzo playing Charles Dickens hilariously.
Yeah.
Basically because Brian Henson wanted the narration portion from the novel.
Right. And it adds because there are a few context things that I think, at least as a child, helped bridge the gap.
Right.
As to like what's going on, because
and you needed a thing with a purple cock nose to tell you that.
Of course I did. Of course I needed to have purple cock nose up there being like, yo, what up?
We have 2-time Academy Award winning Sir Michael Caine, but you need a cock nose to tell you what's going on.
Yeah. Right? That's exactly I'm not the only
Mom,
one.
Why is he talking funny?
Yeah. Yeah, why does he talk all old timey like?
Old timey. Old timey.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then the funniest part about the whole like ghost of Christmas present thing is that motherfucker just pieces and then like we turn around and there's death.
Yeah.
Death is just straight up hanging out.
Well, that's kind of how it happened in
all of them.
In all of them, yeah.
Like he just gets abandoned. Like it's not like in like the ghost of Christmas past to present where it's like, hey, I'm going to bring you home. I'm going to bring you home.
We're gonna it's a hard jump cut.
No, yeah, it's just all of a sudden like, look, this is spooky as shit.
Oh, hey, you're dead.
Yeah, by the way, here, you're dead. Nobody loves you.
Right.
So, cool, right?
Fuck you.
Yeah, again, the ghost of Christmas yet to come.
Ghost of Christmas yet to come?
That's what they call it.
I know, but is that an original Dickens thing, or did they change future for some fucking reason?
I want to say that that's the original thing, but it's also the ghost of Christmas future.
Yeah, because every other thing I'd seen called it future.
Yeah, yet to come I think might have been the original.
But I think the other ones were just dumbing it down for us.
Yeah.
Fucking Americans.
Fucking Americans.
Yeah, that's how it was originally written. The ghost of Christmas yet to be, yet to come.
Right, and so they basically show that Tiny Tim has died, and
Christmas Carol was written in 1843.
Ow.
What'd you just break?
I just elbowed a printer.
All right. Why do you have a printer?
I don't know. Bill bought a printer.
Okay.
It's a scanner, too.
Oh, very nice.
And I think we might be able to fax. I don't think we have a fax number.
We'll be able to fax 1982.
Yeah, we'll fax 1892 or whatever this was made.
Right, you suck. That's how we used to text.
It's going to be a thing. It's just go, you up?
Here, the next one coming through. Oh, that's a dick.
It's a dick.
I didn't ask for that.
He sent a dick fax.
Dick fax.
It's like a car fax, but different.
But it's his dick.
But it's his dick. It's weird. How did he even send this paper? It's got the holes on the side, and you're supposed to rip them off.
Oh,
I don't know.
God. Oh, fuck it.
Yeah, so Tiny Tim's dead.
Yeah, Tiny Tim's well dead.
Scrooge
is dead. Somebody's dying of rickets at some point in this thing. Or Mauro Ranallo, Antonio Banderas, and acid.
Yeah, well, Mariano Rivaldo, acidosis.
Acidosis.
The funniest part about this entire sequence is, like, everybody just, like, he doesn't have anybody to give anything to.
Right.
And so that's the moment that, like, really changes him. He's just like, oh, I'm dead, and people are just auctioning off my stuff.
Right.
So I don't have anybody, and nobody cares, and really, I don't want to die alone.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That is the moral of this story.
Him and the ghost are watching a bunch of businessmen discussing the death of an unnamed colleague.
Right.
And basically saying, you know, the only way I'd attend his funeral is if lunch is provided.
Yep.
Basically painting him as alone.
Yep.
And a cunt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This fucking guy.
Local Undertaker is trading several of his stolen possessions. Right. Yeah. So they're just stealing his shit.
They're stealing his shit. They're selling it off.
They're selling it. They're trading it.
And he realizes that he's going to die alone.
And then, and then they go over to Bob's house. Tiny Tim, the rickets have caught up to him.
Yeah.
He's out.
Yeah. They couldn't find the Sunny D. It was buried in the back of the fridge.
You know what?
Couldn't get that.
One less mouth to feed, let's be honest.
Yeah.
It's probably, you know, Bob's got to wrap that shit up.
I know.
Convert to Protestant.
Yeah. Right. Figure it out.
Throw a rubber on there. Or stop fucking that pig.
Yeah,
fucking that pig you're married to.
Yeah, or whatever.
See, we can say that during these episodes because she is a pig.
It is, and she's a lovely woman.
Yes, yes, lovely.
Lovely woman.
Delicious.
Yeah.
Smells of ham and bacon.
Ooh. Yes, especially in July.
Yes.
Especially in July.
Let's see.
Sometimes. that was going to go down the
road. Yeah, you're going down the Roadhouse Road.
I was going down the Roadhouse Road.
But it's Miss Piggy and not Patrick Swayze. Slightly less sexy, but no less creepy.
In July, we're going to go to the beach.
All right, I'll sit back.
We're going to go to the beach, and she's going to lay out in the sun. She's going to ask me to put sunblock on her, but I'm going to put honey on her instead. And she's going to smell like a honey-baked ham. Like when we would have in Christmas.
Yeah. She got loaded off of rum. You would literally have rum ham.
Yes.
But what about the kid with rickets?
That motherfucker needed to drink some Sunny D. If vitamin D cures rickets, just give that boy.
Just put him in the sun. Is it D or E?
Which one? D.
D is the sun?
D is the sun.
God, it's foggy in London, huh?
Yeah, I guess. Move out to the country. Look, here's the thing. Ship that boy on a boat to Jamaica or something. You can get Muppet Treasure Island out of the way. I don't know.
So Scrooge goes back to the cemetery with the ghost, obviously points out his own grave. That's when he says, ah!
Oh, fuck.
Guess I should be nice.
I guess I got to be a not dickhead.
And as it happens in every Christmas carol, he is then jump-cutted into his bedroom, waking up. Oh, it was all a dream. I can be a dick again.
Yeah.
Because it's a fairy tale and a dream, and that's how life would actually work. Oh, my God, it was a dream? I really didn't just go on a fucking whirlwind adventure with a bunch of ghosts and fly and see dead kids and stuff? Cool. Back to work.
Yeah. You, boy, what day is it? Oh, it's Christmas. Oh, so none of that meant anything.
Oh, cool. So it was literally just a nap.
Yeah, just takes a candelabra and just throws it at the kid.
Bean Buddy pelts him again.
Yeah, right. Right. The Mickey's Christmas Carol is this, that version is scarier of like how it ends, where like it reveals, like Death reveals that he is Pete.
Yeah.
And then like pushes Mickey into a fiery grave.
No, it's he pushes a Scrooge McDuck.
Oh, that's right. It's not Mickey.
Mickey is Bob Cratchit.
Mickey's Bob Cratchit. It's Scrooge McDuck.
Yeah.
And he just pushes Scrooge into this fiery open grave.
Yeah. I mean, how do you not cast Scrooge McDuck as Ebenezer Scrooge?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's why he was created. Yeah. He was created for this and then got his own spin-off
Convenient.
TV show. He got his own spin-off TV show.
He pushed him into the grave and said, that's where DuckTales belongs!
Oh, jeez. Yeah. Yeah, go dive in a pit full of coins. You're going to break your neck, you dumb duck.
Another Family Guy. Good one. Yeah.
Was
that what you were going with?
No, but that's how that would work.
Oh, no, yeah. Peter actually got a Scrooge McDuck-like vault with a bunch of coins and tried to swan dive in and broke his crazy neck.
Yeah, of course.
It doesn't work at all.
Yeah, right. It's a bunch of metal. How does that work?
So he wakes in his bedroom on Christmas Day and decides to surprise the entire Cratchit family, including Gimpy Tim, with a full-on turkey dinner.
Yeah, it shows up. He shows up kind of like Exhibit does at the end of an episode of Pimp My Ride.
Give me a goose. The biggest goose ever, and put spinners on it. 22 inches. Yeah.
Bob Cratchit, I heard you have a gimpy kid. I heard he needs medicine. I put medicine in the turkey, dog. I put medicine in it.
Oh. And then all of a sudden the narrator, Gonzo Dickens, and Rizzo the Rat all of a sudden infuse themselves into the whole thing as actual characters. And
yeah, I think they just, like, go in.
Got weird. Bean Bunny shows back up, which I'm a big fan of. And just
Bean Bunny.
Bean Bunny. I love fucking Bean Bunny.
Bean Bunny's the best.
They all go to the Cratchit house. Everybody has dinner.
Yeah. And then we learn the value of Christmas.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He gives Bob a raise, pays off his mortgage.
Yeah, and everybody loves everybody at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
It's a classic Christmas tale.
Gonzo narrates that Scrooge has now become a secondary father to Tiny Tim.
That's right. That's
which is kind of, you know, weird. It's like, all right, dude, you come in here and buy my house out from under me. I get it, you paid it off, but now he owns it, and now you're going to take my fucking kid? I mean, you can have the gimpy one. I don't mind it, but ask me first, dude.
Yeah, right.
Maybe you want to cut me off a little something like that. I got a pig in the back.
Well, you know what happens, right? This whole movie is just that he wants to have sex with Bob Cratchit.
Bob Cratchit is Patrick Swayze.
See, what we didn't talk about is that Kermit the Frog is playing Bob Cratchit, playing Patrick Swayze, playing Bob Cratchit.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
There's a
playing Dalton.
Playing Dalton. And Scrooge just...
Kermit the Frog is Dalton.
And if we learned if we learned anything from Roadhouse, is that rich business tycoons want to have sex with Dalton.
Holy shit.
That's what we learned. That's it. So
he wants to have sex with Bob Cratchit.
Right.
Not Tiny Tim.
Right.
Oh.
He just wants to be his father.
Oh.
But he's gimpy as hell.
Why does he take one of the two unnamed ones?
Well, because if Bob Cratchit couldn't take enough time to name the children, why would he want one?
Hilarious that he has six kids, two of which don't have fucking names.
Yeah. You and you, get over here. That's
how did I go down that rabbit hole?
I don't know.
We were looking up Tiny Tim diseases.
Tiny Tim's names. Bob Cratchit's kids' names. My favorite, this is a great Muppet Christmas movie, but it is not my favorite Christmas movie of all time. That is a different Muppet Christmas special called Muppet Family Christmas. Have you ever seen Muppet Family Christmas?
Maybe, I don't know.
It was a television special. It's while Jim Henson is alive, so he is actually voicing this. And the plot of this is that Kermit and the rest of the Muppets are going to go up to Fozzie Bear's mother's house so that they can celebrate Christmas in the country, away from the hustle and bustle of Los Angeles, right?
Starting to sound like the Star Wars Christmas special.
Yeah, but...
We're going to the Kashyyyk for a Wookiee Life Day thing.
But it's better.
And
it's,
Dad's going to jerk off to Donna Summers. Hedy Lamarr's going to show up with a fucking salad tosser on his head. Hedley.
I can't.
Chewbacca's dad, Itchy, is jacking off to Donna Summers with a VR headset on.
Yeah, and his androgynous child. It's
fucking so weird.
And then Han Solo shows up and just murders a stormtrooper.
Murders so many people. By the way, this is all in the archives at newageinsiders.com. We did it last Christmas.
Yeah. Yes, we did it last year.
That was our Christmas watch along last year. This year we have a good watch along in store for you as well.
Yeah.
But before we get to that, is that a Christmas carol?
Oh, that is a Christmas carol.
Is that a Muppet Christmas carol?
Yeah, that is a Muppet Christmas carol.
All right, that wraps up a Muppet Christmas carol. And we got a bonus. I think this is going to become a That Movie Show tradition, a holiday watch along.
Yeah.
This time the holiday watch along is
what I'm excited for.
The 1996.
Yep.
So think about where wrestling was at 96.
Yep.
Hulk Hogan.
Yep.
Santa with muscles.
I can't wait. I heard that this was a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And
this was right after the NWO. He was the hottest thing in professional wrestling, and he decided to grab Ed Leslie and go make Santa with muscles. Yes, yeah. Brutus the fucking Barber of Beefcake is in this as well.
Yeah, this movie's going to be nuts.
As Dr. Sumo Henchman.
Yeah, I can't wait because that's you're absolutely the right. The NWO shows up and it's Hollywood Hogan for life.
For life.
And
he decides, all right, I'm going to shave my custom mustache down to a manageable mustache.
Yes.
And a trademark mustache, not custom is what I meant. Trademark mustache.
It could be a custom mustache.
Sure. So he customized his mustache to be more Hollywood. And I'm going to strap on a hairpiece.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
Oh, it's going to be amazing.
So that's going to be dropped around Christmas. And coming up next week on the regular show, since it's going to be New Year's, I was trying hard to think about New Year's movies, and this popped in my head. Four Rooms. You've never seen it.
I've never seen it.
Allison Anders, Alexander Rockwell, Robert Rodriguez, and Quentin Tarantino direct an anthology movie about a old-timey Hollywood hotel on New Year's Eve.
It's very exciting.
Stars Tim Roth, Antonio Banderas, Valeria Golino, Madonna,
Antonio Banderas,
Tarantino, Bruce Willis, Jennifer Beals.
And so many people.
So many people. Marissa Tomei is in it. Kathy Griffin's in it. It's a bonkers ride. through the Monsignor Hotel on New Year's Eve. So Four Rooms is next week. Keep an eye out for the holiday watch-along of Santa with Muscle starring Hulk fucking Hogan.
Can't wait!
And thank you for joining us on that movie show. Mike Went, Liam Stryker, Bill Neville's on assignment. You can follow all of us on social media. Hashtag that movie show. And make sure you follow New Age Insiders. Pop on your favorite podcasting app. And the audio and video archives can be found at newageinsiders.com. Did I miss anything?
No, that's it.
All right. Well, Merry Christmas to all and to all a good fucking night.
Bye, everybody.
It's in the singing of a street corner choir. It's going home again.